I do want to say good evening to each one. It truly is a privilege and an honor to worship the Worthy One with you this evening. And as Dwayne mentioned, yes, it is a blessing to serve along Brother Dave, and I've known him for quite some time, and for the last almost 6 years, had the privilege and honor of serving along with him on the ministry team there at White Oak. And I will say a little bit about Dave. I think the first time I met him, or the first little while, I was very intimidated by him because he just seemed like he just excelled at what he did, and I just, whenever I was around, just felt a little intimidated. But the longer I got to work alongside of Dave, I realized he's a very nice person to be around. And he seems quite less intimidating now than he did. And I consider him a very dear brother in the Lord. And I'm sure that you have been blessed so far this week. I know we're certainly blessed to have him as a part of our leadership team there at White Oak. Brother Dwayne mentioned that Jesus is worthy. That's why we're here tonight. And my prayer is that that's why I'm here, that's why you're here, and it's Jesus' name that we do want to lift high. And as I think about the Worthy One, I think about Jesus being faithful. He's the faithful one that is with us, who promised to be with us to the very end. You know, with the events that are happening in the world today and just in the last couple of days, we just wonder where God is in all this. But I can assure you tonight that God is faithful, and He is the faithful judge. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles. If you'd open up, the text is found in Matthew 25. Brother Dave has chosen the scripture, Matthew 25. We'd like to read verse 31 through 46. Thinking about the differences between sheep and goats. So Matthew 25, I'll be reading verse 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. truly sobering words as we know our faithful God, who is faithful to be with us. He is also the faithful judge who will one day judge the living and the dead. And my prayer is for myself and for each one gathered and listening that if you have not made your calling and your election sure, know that one day you will stand before the righteous judge and you will answer for the things that you did in this life. All those who are able, shall we kneel as we pray.
Thank you, Brother Glendon, for opening devotions this evening. It is a blessing as well to share with Brother Glendon and the ministry team and to see his willingness to take on some of the leadership there as he serves as assistant elder in charge. That has been a blessing. It's also good to see family here tonight. Always good to see them. Our son, Kyle, his wife, Karina, and four of our grandchildren. And always good to see family. Good to see each one of you as well as we worship together here this evening. Not wanting to forget our memory verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Looking at Matthew chapter 25, the latter portion of that scripture this evening, Matthew 24 and 25 are a recorded conversation between Jesus and his disciples as they walk along the way. And much of that conversation in those two chapters is Jesus preparing his disciples for his approaching death. And he also talks about the conditions in the end times and about the kingdom of heaven. And he wanted each of those disciples, those that were with him there today, down through the ages, including us, every single one of us, to be prepared for his second coming or for the end of our life when we would face him face to face, meet him face to face. It is the will of God the Father that everyone would come to salvation. It is his desire that every one of his created people, everyone that is alive on this earth, would come to know him as their Lord and Savior. John 3:16, very familiar to all of us, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Matthew chapter 25 starts out with the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And that parable is a reminder and it stresses the importance for every one of us to be constantly ready for the Son of Man's coming again. And he follows that parable with another one, continues with that theme of readiness for the coming of the Lord Jesus, the parable of the talents. That parable reminds us that he gives each one of us abilities according to his good pleasure, but the emphasis is on the extreme importance of using our gifts and our talents, our abilities, our resources to further his kingdom, to use what he has given us, blessed us with, to further the kingdom of God, to continue using what he has blessed us with until his return or until he calls us home. The first two servants there represented faithful servants. They were interested in advancing the kingdom of their master. They took what they had been given and used it to build his kingdom. But the one talent man, he was a hypocrite and a pretender. He was wicked and lazy, and his interest was more so about himself. And he felt no sense of responsibility to his Lord and Master. It's not that he did something wrong. It was just that he didn't do anything. In his own mind, it was enough to just hang in there and wait for the end to come. While our abilities and our opportunities differ, each one of us, we can all venture out and make a difference in the lives around us in the name of Jesus Christ. The parable of the talents teaches us the importance of serving God around us by using the abilities that God has given us. Matthew 25, though, the two parables that we mentioned before, the one about the wise and foolish virgins and the talents, they are only recorded here in Matthew. They're not recorded in any of the other Gospels, as well as the account which Brother Glendon read for us here, the account of the judgment day, the separation of the sheep and the goats. The difference between the sheep and the goats, and I want you to catch this, is what they did and didn't do. That was the difference between the sheep and the goats. And this teaching by Jesus with his disciples, it's the last recorded teaching by Matthew as they approach the events in the life of Christ leading up to his crucifixion. And this judgment of the nations, the separation of sheep and goats, some regard it as a parable, others not a parable, because it is an actual event that is going to take place. And so doesn't quite fall under parable teachings because of its actuality and an actual event that will happen. People are compared to the sheep and the goats as a metaphor, but the judgment is a coming actual time and place will happen. This account is at least a partial description of what will happen or take place on the judgment day, and it's a reminder that God will separate obedient followers of his from those who are pretenders, unbelievers, and he will assign appropriate rewards and punishment for each. Last summer, on a very warm June Friday evening, I had the opportunity to see a pen full of sheep and goats mixed together. It was a reminder to me of this account. In our area, we have a small animal auction at Green Dragon where they bring those animals together. And so there was a pen of sheep and goats mixed there together, and they were waiting to be auctioned off. Reminds me of this account here in Matthew. Matthew records a time when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. So this judgment day will not be a judgment of nations such as countries that we know today, like Mexico and Canada and United States or Japan or countries like that. But instead, what it will be is a judgment of individuals from all nations. On that judgment day, individuals will be separated into two groups. All through life, we're used to sorting and separating. You ladies sort the lights and the darks and the brights for laundry day. We sort the boys and the girls for certain activities or maybe for Sunday school. In the garden, we sort through the weeds to try to find the good plants, the ones that we were hopefully trying to grow and make something or get something from them. We sort through the change looking for quarters or 50-cent pieces. We sort through the candy looking for dark chocolate. And we sort through, when the service is over this evening, I look through the crowd here to see where my wife has gotten to and ready to head for home. So we're always sorting through, looking through, separating out, and we're used to that. But this sorting and separating of the sheep and the goats, as Jesus describes, isn't real familiar to us today, but for those that he was talking to in that day, it was very, very familiar. Those who lived in ancient Israel. There are countries today where we would still be able to see sheep and goats being herded together, feeding on the hillside. And there were other times when the shepherd would need to separate the sheep and the goats, possibly for shearing the wool from the sheep, or possibly for selling in some, or putting them into different groups, and he would have no difficulty distinguishing between the two groups. Most times we can tell the difference between sheep and goats. In this account here, Jesus, throughout his ministry, was portrayed many times as a good shepherd. We know him as that. And his followers were the sheep. And sheep are portrayed as, or we know them as being defenseless, and they rely upon someone else to take care of them. They rely upon a shepherd for care and protection and direction. That's how sheep are. Now, goats, on the other hand, they're opposite. They're headstrong, and they're self-reliant, and they're independent, and they do their own thing. And so that's kind of the two different groups. It's possible that the separation of the sheep and the goats is in reference to the great white throne judgment recorded in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this separation of the sheep and goats could be in reference to Revelation chapter 20. Others view this judgment as the Lord's decision about the way Gentile nations have treated the nation of Israel. I like Harold Martin in his New Testament commentary says, regardless of the extent or limitation of this judgment, there are certain principles and truths taught in this portion of Scripture that we don't want to miss. The opposing realities that are so very important and of utmost importance that we don't want to miss is that it makes it very clear that you are either with Christ, you are for Christ, or you are against or not with him. And the other one is that you will either spend eternity in heaven or you will spend eternity in hell or in eternal punishment. We see from this portion of Scripture that there will be a sorting. There will be a separating. At the end of the world as we know it, there will be a sorting by Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. And Jesus will come with great glory. He will sit on his great throne. He will be surrounded by a great host of angels and will conduct a great gathering of the people, a great sorting. In the end, he will pronounce a great judgment. It will be an incredible time, one of great importance, carried out by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most likely it will be all the people of all the nations gathered before the great King, the great Shepherd, Jesus Christ, for a great sorting. The sheep will be gathered together on his right, and the goats will be gathered together on his left. So we know there will be a sorting. We know that the sheep will be rewarded. It says, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It is the blessing of the Father upon our lives that leads to anything good in us. It is his blessing on our life that enables us or equips us or allows us to do anything good with the life he has given us. It is his good that leads us to our obedience and to us being faithful. We're only able to love because he first loved us. The sheep, those who are on the right and belong to the shepherd, are rewarded with a kingdom prepared for them, it says, from the foundation of the world. For those followers of Jesus, God has planned an eternal home before the creation. Unbeknownst to those God calls sheep is that serving and caring for those around them is the same as serving and caring for Jesus Christ himself. They were perplexed at the thought that they had actually been caring for Jesus when they had reached out and cared for others. They were surprised by what they had been doing. Jesus Christ very much values the way we treat those around us. Jesus Christ very much values the way we treat those around us. The exact same lesson as the parable of the Good Samaritan. The sheep will be rewarded after this sorting from the goats with a kingdom a kingdom of eternal life. On the other hand, the goats will be condemned. The contrast in this passage, there are sheep, but there are also goats. There is a reward, but there is also a condemnation. It used to be many times we see the one on the right and the one on the left. The one on the right was placed in a more significant place of honor to the one on the left. The one on the left usually received a little bit lesser value of honor. But that is different in this account in Scripture. The one on the left, the goats, are about to receive condemnation. This is not a light sentence, but instead the shepherd will pronounce a curse and they will receive the strict condemnation that they have, that they are due, that they deserve. They will be sentenced to everlasting fire, and it says this everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not prepare this place for human beings, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels, and those who reject him will be sentenced there as well. They are condemned because Jesus equates poor treatment of his followers with poor treatment of himself. You know, Jesus said much the same thing when he spoke to Paul there on the road to Damascus. As Saul was being struck down by that light, he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul didn't realize he was persecuting God. He thought he was persecuting those who had strayed from the course. And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he responds with, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted." In his persecution of the sinners, of the Christians, Jesus says, "You're actually persecuting me. What you're doing to them is against me." Same way as in this account of the sheep and the goats. That to mistreat his followers is the same as mistreating Christ himself. This portion of Scripture has some huge implications. Not treating others well has consequences at the judgment. If we really love Jesus Christ, will we not demonstrate that love to those around us? There are four principles and truths taught in the account of the sheep and the goats here from Matthew 25, along with some others. What we do for fellow human beings, the Lord feels it as well. What we do to those around us, how we treat others, whether they're believers or unbelievers, the Lord feels that as well. The sheep were surprised by the turn of events, not serving others. They were, in this account, they were not serving others to be noticed or to gain the favor of the king, but instead it was their nature to care for others. The sheep in this account were not doing it to be noticed, and they were not doing it to gain favor. They did it because they had a genuine concern and care for others. The story is told, and I want to illustrate this, how we can go above and beyond in caring for others and be a blessing to those around us. The story is told of a speaker and his wife, and they were at a conference in the Midwest, and they arrived at the airport and had no idea who was going to meet them there. They knew they were looking for a man by the name of Craig, and he was going to be their chauffeur for their stay there at that Midwest conference, for their stay there. And after meeting him, a little bit of interaction with him, they realized that he was highly accomplished and successful. So this wasn't just a driver for the time, but it was somebody who had taken the time to give them a ride. The task of driving them around for 3 days, being driven around for 3 days by someone with of his intellectual caliber and impressive resume, stood out to them as he was going to be their chauffeur for this time. And it may have seemed almost too humble to do, but that thought never crossed Craig's mind. He served with his whole heart for those 3 days. Listen to how he went above and beyond to serve those that he was ministering to, chauffeuring them back and forth to that conference. Number one, he arrived at the airport on time for pickup. So he was there promptly, ready to pick them up, met them there at the airport. He had chilled water, new bottles, every time they got in the car for the next 3 days. Mentioned in the story that the water bottles seemed to multiply like rabbits. He had water bottles there every time when he met them, picked them up, every time he was giving them a ride, he had new water bottles. He drove a new route every time from the conference to the hotel. Means he gave it some thought ahead of time just to take them on a different route so they weren't going the exact same way, so they were getting to see a little bit more of the countryside and making their stay just a little bit more pleasant. He was genuinely interested in getting to know them, even sharing about himself and some trials he and his wife had recently endeavored or gone through. And so he took the time to get to know them personally, even sharing some of himself. Craig's wife came along several times so she too could get to know them, and they felt even more welcomed and valued as they were riding back and forth. He repeatedly dropped everything anytime to give them a ride, dropped all his other commitments to be there to give them a ride. And when he left them at the airport the last day, he and his wife got out of the car, stood beside them, prayed deeply, fervently, and meaningfully for them as they went on their way. You know, we think what we do doesn't leave an impact, but we can put a little bit of extra thought in it, and we can go above and beyond to serve those around us in just ordinary situations like Craig did. Craig seemed, they go on to say that Craig seemed very happy to serve us as though it was a treat for him, as though we were doing him a favor. They said the flavor of his service was joy. Is that not a beautiful picture of somebody serving from the bottom of their heart, serving with joy? Why did Craig serve so well? Because he was ultimately working for us, not desperate for our good opinion or terrified over our bad opinion. After all, he barely knew them. Craig was working for the Lord Jesus. He didn't need us, and because of that, he served us better. What do we do for fellow human beings? What we do for fellow human beings, the Lord feels it as well. Keep that in mind, that what we do for the Lord, what we do for others, the Lord feels. Paul said, Christ said, Paul, Saul was persecuting, I felt that. And when we do it for others, when we do good things for others, Jesus says, I felt that. Secondly, the sins of omission are as deadly as sins of commission. It doesn't matter that the goats, it doesn't mention that the goats murdered anyone, or that they fraudulently stole from anyone. Instead, they simply withheld their love and care that they could have given to those who were hungry, those who were homeless, those who were helpless, those who were in prison. We somehow get the idea that the sin of doing something wrong is worse than the sin of not doing what we could have done. When those opportunities come our way and we pass them up, it is just as much of a sin of omission. This account implies that it's more wrong to do nothing when we could have lent a hand. That is just as wrong as committing other sins. Another principle or truth from this lesson from Matthew chapter 25, judgment will be accompanied by great surprises. There were many, almost everyone was surprised at what happened at the great judgment. Those who were faithful did not remember feeding the hungry, caring for the stranger, or providing clothes for them with those in need. And the surprise of the sheep in the count is a sure sign that they were not feeding the hungry or caring for the stranger or those in need. They didn't do it to merit salvation. They weren't doing it to merit salvation or to gain favor. They did those things because they loved the Lord. They did those things because they loved the Lord, not to merit salvation. It is our duty to run the race and not to concern ourselves with keeping score. Scripture mentions a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. The point of it is that no service is too small. When we have opportunities to serve, we need to take it up. The picture of the sheep and the goats is the other principle to keep in mind, that the principle of the picture of the sheep and goats is not a full account of everything that has to do with salvation. So don't ever pull that sheep and goats out as a full account of salvation. These verses deal with the evidences by which people will be judged, not with the cause of salvation or condemnation. Over and over again, Scripture is very clear that we are saved by grace, but we are judged by our works. We are saved by grace, but we are judged by our works. Salvation is by the grace of God and Him alone, the undeserved, unmerited, unearned kindness of God. The judgment based on works is described. Matthew 16, verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to his works." The Apostle Paul speaks of receiving for what we have done, whether good or bad. And our names are either written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or they are in the Judges' Book of Death. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That verse speaks of everlasting punishment and life eternal. And it goes on, later on in that scripture, speaks about everlasting punishment in the next verse. So eternal life, eternal and everlasting. Those eternal and everlasting are both the same in the original Greek. And so they mean the same thing. They go on and on. Those who believe in an eternal bliss, catch this, must also believe in an eternal hell. This scripture makes that very clear. If heaven lasts forever, then hell also lasts forever. They're both eternal and everlasting from now on until all eternity. This scripture contradicts the teachings of those who prefer, occasionally nowadays we'll hear the teaching of a nihilism. And this scripture does not support that, neither does any other scripture. And nihilism means that punishment is only temporary for the unbeliever. This scripture makes it very clear that eternal life is for all eternity, just the same as everlasting punishment or eternal punishment is for all of eternity as well. And just thought important to point that out as we go through here, because now and again, we bump into teachings on nihilism. Matthew 25 is a great reminder by our Lord and Savior to prepare for His second coming. It's a great reminder to love and care for those all around us who are in need, from the unborn to those who are older, to friends and strangers. No matter what their need might be, if we can, if we are able to, we ought to help out and meet that need. When we pass up opportunities to do good for others, it's the same as passing up opportunities to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just can't miss out on the important message of that salvation. When we're saved, that should transform us into the kinds of people who serve their Lord by doing good for others. Jesus explained it to the Pharisees this way in Matthew 12:32, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." In the account of the sheep and the goats, Jesus just wants us to understand that our choices, whether or not to serve others, reveal the kingdom to whom we belong. The choices we make, whether or not to serve others, reveals the kingdom to whom we belong. We have opportunities all around us. We can volunteer at food banks. We can give to food drives. We can provide a meal. We can look for opportunities to welcome people who are new to the area or marginalized. We can donate clothing to homeless shelters. We can show compassion to those who are hurting or isolated or in the hospital or retirement homes or in prison. The ways that we can serve around us are unlimited. And we need to shift from good intentions to actions. Not just thinking about it or talking about it, but to actually doing it. We need to pray for opportunities without expecting recognition. Our care should be towards those who can offer nothing in return. We ought to care for them even more, those who can offer nothing in return. A songwriter from way years back writes his testimony. He says he searched all over to find what was missing in his life before he came to Jesus Christ. And he said, in that testimony, he said, "I would have met Jesus much sooner if not for Christians who led double lives." Christians who didn't do what we were supposed to be doing. He said, "I would have found Christ much sooner if it wasn't for Christians who were not living like Christians, who were living a double life." The difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and didn't do. Every one of us has opportunities to do more because we're saved, because of what Christ has done for us. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here tonight and you've never named the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight is another opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, to find His grace that is wanting you to come to be one of His. It is His desire that every one of His created beings would find Him as their Lord and Savior. If you're here tonight and you walked away from the Lord, you haven't lived for Him, you've passed up opportunities to be more reliable Christian for Him. If you walked away from Him, if you'd like to rededicate your life to Him, tonight is another opportunity to drive a stake in the ground and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be a part of your sheep, one of your sheep, a part of your kingdom, living for you." What song of invitation shall we sing?
Let's stand for a closing prayer.